And turn over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. I don't know what it is about them songs about the blood, but I like them.
Amen.
As we look today in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And your Bible says there, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, watch this, let him and his neighbor next in his house take it according to the number of the souls, and every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and with your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we look at this message today on saved by the blood. Saved by the blood. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you today, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. And God, as we approach this time of looking into your word, we pray, God, today while we're here, that, Lord, that you'll touch our hearts, that you'd help us through the word of God today. Lord, we ask for understanding of your word that your Holy Spirit gives. We ask, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach today, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Israel was about to be delivered from Egypt. They had went before Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron had, and they had asked that he had let those people go. And he would say, "You can go, but you can only go so far." And they went back, and there would be a plague happen. They went through all this. And every one of these plagues that God gives was in judgment towards the gods, plural, of Egypt. Each one of those 12 little G-O-D-S's, each one of these plagues corresponded to each one of them. The reason being is because God was trying to show Egypt that He is still the Lord God Almighty.
Right.
He was demonstrating His power and grace towards His people Israel, but since Egypt didn't want to listen to what He had to say, He was demonstrating His power in judgment towards those that rejected Him. You'll find in the Bible that the last plague that He's fixing to put on them here is the plague of the firstborn was coming, but you could escape the judgment of that plague if you heeded the message about the blood.
Right.
He didn't say to slap that lamb on the door and put lambskin on the door. But He did say, put the blood on the doorpost.
Right.
And when the instruction included slaying a lamb of the year, firstborn male and all that stuff, which is a type of Christ, and then putting the blood on those doorposts, which are a type of the cross.
Right.
You say, how do you get that? Well, he told them to put that thing in three places. Mm-hmm. He said, smite the top of the door with that brush, and then hit the sides of the door. And as you know, when you put something wet up here, it drips down here, right? So that it'll place here with blood, here with blood, here with blood, and here with blood. And as we look at that thing, that's how God said, do it. He said, everything behind that bloody cross, I'm going to let go.
Right.
Everything on this side of it that don't want it, I'm going to give them the plague of death on their firstborn.
Right.
Now, you look at this thing, we see in the Bible the blessings of the blood. Because see that word, the blood, when he says put the blood, not some blood, the blood, that shows us our first blessing of that blood, which is the prominence of the blood. God makes a big deal about that blood. In fact, 447 times in your Bible, the word blood is used. God makes a big deal out of it.
Right.
Why? Because that's what He accepts as payment.
Mm-hmm.
He don't accept deals. He's not Monty Dupuy on Let's Make a Deal or whatever that guy's name was, or Wayne Brady on Let's Make a Deal, a new one. God has one deal, and His deal's the blood.
Right.
When a man says, I'm right with God because of, and he names off a work he does, he's not right with God. You're right with God over that blood. God's not looking for good works. He's looking for blood.
Right.
And in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls.
Right.
Atonement, to buy that thing, to make sure the payment's made. How does God do that? He does it through the blood.
Right.
We look over Revelation 12:11. It says, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. How'd they beat the devil? By the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They wouldn't have even had a testimony if it wasn't for the blood of the Lamb. He's the one that changes things.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 20 says, and it says, and almost all things are by the law purged by the blood. They're purged by the blood.
Right.
Not by works, by the blood. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, listen to this, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from what?
All.
All.
Yeah.
All of them. Now, when people try to say, well, y'all make a big deal about that blood. That's just a bloody religion. Guilty.
Well,
long as it's the right blood. Amen.
Yeah.
Long as it's not my blood and your blood. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the only quote, religious figure. And I say that in quotes. Is the only religious figure that says, not your blood, but my blood.
Right.
All the rest of them want your blood. Or your enemy's blood.
Right.
Christ said, take my blood.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because He's God manifest in the flesh. He is the Lamb of God. Hey, listen, when John the Baptist showed up down there preaching, he didn't say, here comes, he didn't say, watch this, here comes one of God's choice deals. He said, here's the Lamb of God that's taken away the sin of the world.
Right.
Now, I notice that we see the prominence of the blood listed in the words just saying the blood. But he says down there in verse 13, look at this. And the blood shall be to you for a token, the blood, it says, upon the houses where you are. And he says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They sang that song a while ago. And I got to thinking about that, how that verse says that. And it's always good to know while the choir's singing, you got the message. Amen and amen. Listen to this. He said, when I see the blood.
Yeah.
When I see the blood, it has to physically be somewhere for God to see it.
Right.
And the Bible tells us that it didn't matter according to what race, religion, position, or what they had among the people. What mattered was the blood applied to those doorposts. It didn't count if they applied to the door across the road there. It had to be on your door.
Right.
And if you didn't have a land, you could go to your neighbor and be with your neighbor, and he'd put it on his door, and that'd cover you in his house. And that shows us a great picture of another blessing of the blood, and that's the protection of the blood. They wasn't hiding behind any religious works or any money or anything like that. They were protected by the blood. A lot of folks are trying to protect themselves from God by all kind of things. He's only looking for the blood.
Yeah.
And listen, if you would hold your place here in Exodus chapter 12, hold your place here, look over at 1 Peter chapter 1, show you something here. We see the protection of the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. We see that there's protection in this blood. the Bible says this in verse 18. For as much as you know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What are we protected by? It's not by silver. It's not by gold. It's by the precious blood of the Lamb. Therefore, God's protection is. You say, how do I know I can be eternally saved? You get behind that blood, he can't reach through it. And when I see the fact that we're covered in that blood, and that blood is what's the, where the protection is, you say, where's it at? So I'll know. It's on an altar in heaven where God said, there's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And when that blood was put there, it made atonement for the sins of the world. And now when you come to him and that blood's applied to your account, there's protection there now. Not because of what you believe or what you do, but because of his precious blood.
Right.
Isn't that something? You've been trying to figure out how to keep it, and he's already kept it. You've been trying to make sure the devil couldn't steal it, and guess what? He can't get past that. This blood and that blood has a sign for him. You know what it is? No trespassing. He can't go by that thing. He can do a lot of things, but he can't go through the blood. Somebody said one time he went tried to reach through that blood and make him a saved devil. Amen. Listen, that's how powerful that blood is. We see the protection of the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know, there's a lot of tears that next morning when they come through there. And they'd wake up and go check on their children and all their firstborn was gone. Died in the night. Why? Because there was no blood on the doorpost. There was no blood. There was no blood there to protect them. And it's going to be a shocking day for people when they wake up in hell. And they wake up and they say, you know, they die here and they open their eyes up in hell. They say, why am I here? Why am I suffering in eternity? You didn't get behind the blood.
Right.
You didn't cover yourself in the blood. You tried to cover yourself in religion. You tried to cover yourself in good works. You tried to cover yourself in a bunch of other things. Spiritual feelings, how I feel one day, how I feel the next. But you didn't get covered in the blood.
Right.
There's protection in that blood. If I was having a problem at night sleeping and I was having bad dreams, I wouldn't say this. Listen to me. Number one, don't eat pizza after 10 o'clock at night. That'll probably stop all the bad dreams and visions you're having right now. In fact, there's a nutritionist told us one time that if you want to prevent dreams from food, don't eat past 6 o'clock and go to bed at 10, something like that, or 11. That's what somebody told me. Now, whether that works for you, I don't know. Whether it works for me, I don't know. I've never took the advice. I mean, you should take that advice. But listen to me. One thing is for sure. If I was waking up at night having bad dreams, you know what I'd do? I'd plead the blood over that place where I'm at.
Right.
Because there's protection in that blood.
Right.
When I come here, I say, Lord, put the blood, protect us in the blood. Why? Because there's protection in the blood.
Right.
God's blood.
Yeah.
Jesus' blood. That blood.
Right.
The blood.
Right.
And listen to this. And when judgment comes one day, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God is bringing judgment to this world.
Yeah.
He's already sent them the message of grace. He sent them the message of the Bible. He sent them the message of the Savior. They still reject him. And one day judgment's coming through, and the only way to be protected from it is to be behind that blood.
Mm-hmm.
Look back over in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, back over there. We see the blessings of the blood, the prominence and the protection of the blood. We see also the place of the blood. Now notice this. He says in Exodus chapter 12, down at verse number 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Notice he said, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Now get this. He didn't say, get it somewhere near your house or where you like to go. He said, but where you are. And I noticed that the blood must be where ye are. And let me spell it out for you players, okay? Pick up what I'm laying down here, okay? Catch me in the Bible, right? I'm trying to reach this modern crowd. Okay? The blood has to be where you are. So let me really spell this thing out for you. Every time we come to church, I feel safe here. You know why? Protection of the blood.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But when it comes to the place of the blood, it's not just here. It has to be here.
That's right.
So when I walk out of here at Sunday, and let's see here. Yeah, we'll get out 4:12 today probably. Unless y'all make me mad the next 10 minutes. And then we'll be here at 1 o'clock, sure as the world. And I'm going to call KFC and tell them we ain't coming. Listen. When you walk out of here, you take the blood with you.
Right.
I've known people over the years that say, I don't feel comfortable in certain churches. I know why they don't feel comfortable. I know why. You know why?
Come on.
There's conviction there.
Right.
So what's it there for? The blood.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also known people that go to church and act like saints of God. But when you get out of church, you couldn't tell the difference between them and Charles Manson, for all hints and purposes. I mean, there's no difference in them.
Come on.
The only place it seems like they got the blood's here.
Come on.
God said, I don't want it here.
Right.
He said, I want it where ye are. And see, we look at that, we see the blessing of the place of the blood. God wants it where you are. Being on your grandma's house didn't save you.
Right.
I know people right now that they think they're saved because their parents are saved. I met a missionary's kid one time, and he told me his name was one of the Bible names and all that. I just asked him a question. I said, when did you get saved? And he said, oh, it's not necessary for me to get saved.
Hmm.
I said, it's not. He said, no. I said, my parents are saved. I'm covered under them.
Come on.
I said, sir, God's not looking for your parents.
Right.
He's looking for you.
Right.
We don't get on the grandfather clause on this one. It's a personal thing. It has to be with you,
right,
where ye are. And the place of the blood, though it may be in your family line, it also has to be on you. Which tells me that each one of us has to have a personal salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ and accept His payment of the blood that He shed on Calvary as being the place that we put the blood on us.
Yeah.
I'm glad God has forgiven your sin. I really am. I'm glad that God has forgiven you and given you a new life in Christ. I'm thrilled about that. But I'm also thrilled about the fact that not only do you have it, I can get it too. Just as it's personal to you, it can be personal to others. And we need to make sure that the place of the blood is where ye are. Now notice in your Bible, He said ye. He offered that thing to all of them. The place where ye are. Who received it? The people that put that blood and smite that doorpost and smite the top of that thing, they said, we're here on this side. This is the place of the blood. You and I don't go walk to a doorpost anymore. Why? We go to a bloody cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that was crucified for us 2,000 years ago. And when He paid His blood for that sin, the place of the blood went to the altar in heaven. And God received that thing. Now when we go to God for salvation, we go on the basis of that blood and nothing else.
Right.
Notice this also. Others may be saved, but that does not save you. You ever had a friend get saved? Back when you was lost? And you said, how do you know they're saved? Because they quit doing all the things you was doing. That's how you could tell. They quit doing all the sin. They said, you know what? I'm saved. God's delivered me out of all this. I'm going to go to the house of God. I'm going to go enjoy the things of God. I'm going to go be part of the worship and the praise. And I'm going to be part of what God's doing.
Yeah.
And you thought to yourself, you thought, man, them people are crazy. What's wrong with them? They're nuts. You know what happened? They got the blood put on them.
Yeah.
That blood changes people, and the place where it's applied changes. No longer is there sin there. God says, I forgive. But it's based on the blood.
Yeah.
Others may be saved, but that don't make you saved.
Yeah. Right.
You still got to get the blood.
That's right.
And I notice also, unless you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you will not be saved if you use any other blood.
Right.
It has to be the blood of Him. The Lamb of God which taketh away sin of the world. We see the blessings of the place of the blood. But if you look in verse number 13 again, we see this. He said, down about the middle of that verse, He said, when I see the blood, He says, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. I want to tell you about this also before we get out of here today. Here's a blessing. The power of the blood.
Amen.
The power of the blood. What's it going to do? I see He said, I will pass over you, and all that judgment, all them plagues and all that stuff, it don't apply to you now.
Good.
Boy, ain't God good.
Always.
I look at that thing, and I remember reading that verse over there that, and I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. I'll try to find it. You can go over there with me. We'll try to find it right quick. I'm going to show this to you. How God tells us something over here. It's 1st Thessalonians chapter 1. He's going to deliver us from something to come. Listen to this. No power is so great as the power of the blood stopping divine judgment. God is unlimited in His power, but He limits Himself on judgment because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." If Jesus is showing up and delivers from the wrath to come, what's that? That's that wrath God's going to pour out on this planet during the tribulation.
Right.
That's called the great tribulation period of 7 years. He's showing up before that. Oh, and by the way, He's only taking those that's covered in the blood.
That's right.
I've heard people say, oh, they're going to be a computer chip here, and they're going to do this, and they're going to mark you, and they're going to do this, and cut your head off and all this. Have fun with that, but everybody's behind that cross, and there's none of that blood. We don't have to see it.
Amen.
Listen. They may put us in slavery and make us build the things. They're going to kill them with them, but as soon as they start it, we're out of here.
That's right.
Why? We're covered by the power of the blood. So you mean to tell me that if I'm living on planet Earth and I'm saved and under that blood and God's paid my penalty of the sin through His precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He's going to show up in the clouds, call His church up, and we're going to get out of here just like that? Yes.
Come on.
How? The power of the blood.
Yeah, amen.
It's not going to be on the profession power. It's going to be on the possession power.
Amen.
All those that, listen, you need never fear, because when He sees the blood, He's going to take us out of here and let it pass.
Amen. Right.
Is it because of our goodness? Absolutely not. You won't find a good one in the bunch of that bunch of Israel.
Well,
not a one. Listen, matter of fact, they're fixing to pull out of this Egypt and go out in the wilderness for 40 years. The only reason they had to stay 40 years is they wouldn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ain't that something? They wouldn't mind. They lied about what they saw when they sent the spies out. And they wouldn't go for what God said go for. God said, okay, that's no problem. You're covered in the blood, but I'm going to let you wander around 40 years.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So where'd they go when they died? Wherever the blood went.
Come on.
So wait a minute, whoa. We got to go wherever the blood goes. That's why I made sure to let you know that thing's in heaven. See, what we've got here is a paradox. You and I, our payment's made there, but we're still here.
Yeah.
The blood has been applied there, but yet it's been applied here.
Yeah.
And you and I are living in a day and age in which it looks like prophecy's fixing to fulfill itself and do all kind of things and see all kind of things come to pass. But yet you and I won't see it.
No.
So why not? Power of the blood.
Yep.
We're exempt from it now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know hell's a bad place? Hell's where the Bible describes hell's where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched, it's never ending torment, there's no annihilation, you burn and you burn and you burn. Here's something to consider. Why do we not go there? Because of the power of the blood.
Right.
You'll never see hell. You'll never see the insides of hell because of the power of the blood.
Hey.
So how am I going to stay saved? The power of the blood.
Right.
How am I going to live for God? The power of the blood.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When they got behind that blood in those houses, it wasn't an option for living for God. They were living for God once they got behind the blood.
Right.
I see with them that the blood had the power to stop divine judgment, and the blood of Christ still does. Look over at Romans chapter 3. The blood of Christ. They had a blood of a lamb, which was a type of Christ. You and I have something better. We have Christ Himself. But we're looking back to Romans chapter 3, verse 25, where the Bible says this. It says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." And a propitiation, if you look and you note in your Bible, is a sacrifice through faith in His blood. It said, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." It's the blood that does the saving. It's the blood that does the work. It's the blood that's the payment for your sins.
Right.
Are you under this blood? Are you under this blood? So how serious is this? This is so serious that I wouldn't want you to walk out of this church today not being under the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So I'm baptized. Don't count.
Right.
Are you under the blood?
Right.
I'm a good church member. In fact, I have perfect attendance. That's great, but are you under the blood?
Come on.
I give a lot of money. Are you under the blood?
Right.
I'm sorry, low down, rotten sinner. I don't know what I'm going to do. Are you under the blood? God's free gift of salvation is in that blood. Will you take His free gift today? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.